Are you curious about meditation, but have doubts about how it works and if it works? My guest today shares her research insight about common myths of meditation on this episode of Coffee with Tea. So please, stick around and enjoy the show. Friends, and welcome to another episode of Coffee with Tea. I'm your host, Tanya Tyler, and I'm excited because we're going to be talking to Dr. Pamela Walentini, and she's going to be talking about the myths of meditation. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome Mr. Dr. Walentini. Welcome, ma'am.
Thank you, Tanya. It's an honor and a pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you on. Like I said, we've connected through a lot of networking, and I love your energy. You have such energy that's just like brings you in. So, and I like that. And then the fact that you're as you always like to say, I don't want to waste people's time. So you have a mission. And so I want to thank you for coming on and sharing your mission with us. And so without further ado, I always like to say that I want you to, know that this is your space, and so please tell people who you are, what you do, and we can dive more into the conversation.
Tanya, first I want to thank you for your work in this space, because you make a difference in people's lives, and that's really important. I think that's what drew me to you in the beginning, right? And that beautiful smile, so thank you. Let's see, I earned my doctoral degree from Northeastern University. And my research focused on stress and meditation among community college students. And so I know a little bit about meditation, not a lot. I'm not an expert in a way like a medical doctor. I do practice a certain type of meditation called transcendental meditation. That works for me. I've practiced, this year will be 12 years.
Wow, congrats. So, you know, I know I always like to always ask people, like, you know, tell a little bit about their journey stories, you know, tell what you feel comfortable with and tell us, like, how did this become such a passionate subject for you?
So I met a person named Jeffrey Abramson in 2008. And Jeffrey Abramson is the CEO and partner of Tower Companies. And if I may, I'll tell the audience a quick story that it brings a lot of joy. So my lungs were harmed by toxins in a school building, a public school building. That part doesn't bring people joy, or it didn't bring me joy either. But this next phase. So when former President Barack Obama was elected and he was giving his inaugural address, something really hit me about what he said about social responsibility. And since my lungs had been harmed, I had been doing quite a bit of research on school building infrastructure. Well, that talk that he gave in about the piece on social responsibility, I uncovered in my research that Jeffrey Abramson had been building green long before it was the thing to do. So I wrote then President Barack Obama a letter, and I copied Jeffrey Abramson, CEO and partner and owner in the building, as a courtesy to tell him, hey, wow, this is impressive. We need all schools to take care of people's health in this way. So I didn't see it coming, but within 2 weeks, Jeffrey Abramson reached out. And so I met him. And when he gave me a tour of the building, guess what he had in there and still has in there? A meditation room.
Wow, yes. Wow. And so, I mean, I know you because we network. So, like, how, I mean, I know you want, you know, like, so you're comfortable to share what you want to share, but you said it affected you. So how did this really, like said, really come to your passion? How did it really start to speak to you?
So the meditation piece
Or, I mean, like I said, that the meditation piece and all of the green structure, because I know you have a passion. Like you said, you always share the passion for the students. So, I mean, everything that you want to share, this is your platform. So,
okay. So, I'm no longer on medicines to breathe normally. So I want everyone in the audience to know I'm well today. And I, you know, as you can imagine, that created stress, not just physically, but mentally. I felt anxious. And Jeffrey Abramson was kind enough in the Healthy Schools work that we were doing to advocate for improvements in school building infrastructure. We would often meet in his building. And I want everybody to know that the building, the air in the building is scrubbed through filters like submarines. I mean, you want to talk about the smell of clean is no smell. You know, it's just a beautiful building and it's in Rockville, Maryland. If anyone has a chance, I highly, highly recommend that you reach out and take a tour. So that passion for healthy schools came about as a result of, you know, my injury. And we do that work pro bono and we educate people about it. I've joined with, you know, some others who are, their children were in schools and they were hurt in different ways in different counties in the state of Maryland. But we came to find out that school building infrastructure is crumbling across the country. So Jeffrey Abramson not only provides the opportunity for his employees to learn transcendental meditation, it's a health benefit. So he called me and asked me, did I want to learn? And it was a really, I feel blessed all the time that he gave me that opportunity. And so that, I have to be honest with the audience. I thought meditation might be sometimes like my exercise program, 2 days on, 5 days off, 55 days on, 6 days off. It hasn't been. So I want to let you know that I in no way benefit if you pick transcendental meditation, but if that's one that works for you, and I don't teach it, I can definitely connect you to people who, you know, that you can learn. So I don't know. It's changed my life for sure.
Right, right. I want to apologize for my coughing. I was drinking on my tea. Okay. So I was enjoying your conversation. I was like, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. So I apologize for that cough there.
No. This is what I love. You keep it real.
Gotta keep it real. So I was like, so you like to educate the members of your networking group and stuff like that. And so I know we talked about meditation. So we really want to talk a little bit about meditation. But like I said, I know you have a passion for maybe talking about the infrastructures and stuff like that. So we can always go back and forth. So I don't want to feel, like put you in a zone. Like we have to do this. Like right. I said, we keep it real here. So so when you said you studied the meditation and you thought it might be like 1 day off, 3 days here, stuff like that. What was it that really drew you in once you started really getting into the practice? What really brought you in?
Okay, so I want to let everybody know that I started practicing before I had any idea about the significant research on it. And for me personally, it reduced stress. For me, I almost noticed that immediately. And as I said, I've been practicing for 12 years, twice a day, morning and night. And the benefits, wow. So how should I describe it for the audience? You know, when something might happen or something happens that you don't necessarily want, or we could say something might go wrong. When people practice meditation over time, it's as if you're in it, but not of it. And so that's a really significant benefit. And I'll talk a little bit now about the research. After I had been practicing for quite some time and then decided to do my doctoral research on meditation, the beliefs and stress and the beliefs of meditation among community college students, I discovered that in some of the peer-reviewed research, you know, they measure saliva, cortisol, the stress hormone, through saliva and blood. And it actually reduces the stress hormone. And then I uncovered there are doctors psychiatrists and things that prescribe meditation for improved heart health. So it's significant when we reduce stress. And it takes, during meditation, it takes this part of the brain, the prefrontal cortex, the thinking brain, offline. And so we get a rest. This needs a rest, you know? So significant benefits. I would encourage everybody, though, I just want to share. Sometimes I think it's better if we don't know, because you don't need to understand why it works or the research for it to work. And that's a real gift, too, I think.
Right, right. This is where I'd like to say, you know, Dr. Pamela has been dropping nuggets. So if you've been picking them up, this is where I like to say, hit the thumbs button. Hit the like button, give us a thumbs up and let us know. Maybe leave a comment down below what you think, or maybe some of your experience that you've had with meditation. And we're going to dive into a little bit of the myth, because I know a lot of people say, there's a lot of benefits, but for those who haven't practiced it, there's a lot of myths that think that people can't use, like if you have a religious belief that you can't use meditation. So can you dive a little bit more in some of the, the myths that come about meditation that you've experienced or you've come across?
Sure. There are people who believe that it is somehow based in religion. And there are plenty of options. Transcendental meditation is one of them. Plenty of options for meditation that doesn't require anyone to change their religious beliefs. And it doesn't require anyone to believe in a certain belief. So, and I already mentioned, you don't even have to believe that it'll work, the practice of meditation, for it to work. So no, understand the benefits and understand that you don't have to change your religious beliefs at all to practice meditation.
So what, then, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
That's okay. The second misconception is often thoughts. People say, well, it doesn't work for me, right? They sit down and they have these thoughts. Well, the truth is, there's no right or wrong way. It's okay to have those thoughts. The thoughts might be something like, I have to go to the grocery store, or I have to wash the car. Let them come and let them go. It's not about judging the meditation session. I heard it once shared that it's kind of like pruning the trees. So don't judge it. Don't think it's not working. It's so worth it for you to give your time and attention to the practice of meditation. And then I'll lead into the third myth. Not all meditation types are the same. And so what in my research, I heard this too, and you'll hear this. People think it takes so much time. There are meditation practices that do take time and discipline and require a lot of effort. They even say it in the research. But transcendental meditation is not that. In the research, it says it's simple and effortless. I find that to be true for me. So my suggestion is, don't swipe them all with the same brush, right? And when I teach people about meditation, I'll go over some benefits and types in that presentation. And then I always say to people, find one that works with you. It's well worth it for your health and well-being, improved health and well-being.
Right. Mm-hmm. I love it. And I've been off and on my meditation, the sitting on a thing, but I think my biggest benefit has been walking. So tell a little bit about the different forms of meditation that maybe somebody thinks, oh, I have to sit, but there's different forms that you can
practice. That's right. Well, that's right. There's walking meditation, and that is another myth. And you reminded me, thank you. Some people think, I have to sit on this in a certain way and uncomfortable. No, it's great. Walking meditation. In fact, when I practice, I sit very comfortably like I am now. Mm-hmm. So, and I think with the meditation types that people are supposed to take a long period of time or longer than what transcendental meditation requires, people will report they get uncomfortable, right? And you don't want that. Well, at least in my opinion, you don't want that, right? But if I don't want to dismiss anyone who might be practicing for an hour sitting in a particular position, again, if that meditation works for you, do it. But I promise you, it doesn't have to take a lot of time, and you can be comfortable when you do it.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Pamela, is one of the biggest myths that there has to be a certain way to do meditation?
I think that's a great question. And I think maybe, I don't know for sure, but meditation made it into the mainstream, mostly, or he's credited. Jon Kabat-Zinn's work is credited for bringing it into the mainstream. There might be some others, but I think because his work was so significant with people who really hurt badly and they were in a clinic setting. So when you think of the amount of time that they spent journaling, focusing on their experience, maybe doing stretching exercises, things like that, that was referred to as mindfulness-based stress reduction. I think that might be part of why people have misconceptions, but understand that people who practice that in that program too, they see significant results. But I just want to make sure everybody knows they're different. They're different. And some people practice mindfulness and they might focus on an image or a sensation or a feeling. Mm-hmm. In transcendental meditation, it's a mantra, a sound without meaning. In transcendental meditation, you learn from instructors. I learned from an instructor, and they've often been practicing 30 and 40 years already with thousands of hours of instruction. And I think some people are put off by that, but it's kind of like a nurse. If I was going to, you know, practice nursing, they probably would want me to learn from people who, you know, knew about nursing. So I didn't find that a problem, but I consider myself a lifelong learner too. So.
Well, I love it. I like saying we're down to like last 4 minutes and stuff. And I really want to ask you, because one of my key questions is always, what's the one thing you want everybody to take away from this, from what you're sharing today? If there's nothing else that they can hear, what's the one message you want them to take away from you today?
Stress is, it really negatively impacts the body for people of all ages. And unmanaged stress can lead to anxiety. So find something that works for you. You certainly can reach out to me or connect to Tanya. I'm happy to answer any questions. I'm happy to even share a few strategies that are no cost to anyone that could really improve your health and well-being and reduce some stress that has nothing to do with meditation too. I'm happy to connect people to the right people if they want to explore further. But yeah, listen, stress matters a whole bunch. And so don't dismiss it, or don't think, well, I just have to let it go, right? I mean, we want to let it go, but engage in a practice that can help you improve your well-being and actually reduce your stress.
Right, right. And I like how you brought this in, because we're going to like segue into the next question is, how can people find more information about you, your services, and what you do, how they can connect with you?
Okay. If you're on Instagram, at Pamela Walentini. If you're on Clubhouse, that's at Education Doctor. I'm known as the Education Doctor. I educate, right? And I've been an educator and entrepreneur for combined 30 or more years. So it's in my heart to teach. Yeah. If you're willing to learn, I'll give you a few good nuggets. You certainly can email me. You can email me. Would you like me to say where to email?
Yeah, if you feel, yeah, go ahead. Because I'm going to put the links in. I'm going to always put the links down in the
In the bottom. Okay. Unified Wellness LLC at Gmail. You certainly can email me. And I look forward to hearing from anyone.
Right. Well, thank you, Dr. Pamela, for all your insight that you shared. And it's been a wonderful time talking with you and stuff like that. So I always, always want to invite you back. We're having some tongue-tied.
No, moments. I was having them too. That's what I love, Tanya. We keep it real.
So yeah, I would definitely love to have you welcome you back if you'd like to come back.
Oh, it would be an honor.
And I know there's another dear subject you always talk about, is we're going to talk about the income, because you talked about having 7 streams of income, and I know that's dear to your heart as well.
Yeah, I really do want people to know about that.
So yeah.
Because sometimes there's myths about that, and then people can Because if you're wealthy and healthy, that's a good thing. That's right, Tanya.
So, yes, I would love to have you come back. But I want to say, first of all, thank you for your time. Thank you for you sharing your wisdom and your insight with us. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you, Tanya.
And I also want to remind everybody that tuned in that feedback is always welcome. Emails if you have any guests or show ideas. Links that Dr. Pamela mentioned will be posted down there below. So please make sure you check out them juicy gems down in the description box. And remember, if you enjoyed what you're hearing today, give us a thumbs up. Let us know you enjoyed what she had to share. Pick up the nuggets. And if you want to get more insight like Dr. Pamela is sharing, or anybody else that you want to see continue, please hit that subscribe button over there. And remember, take things in stride, go with the flow, and create your own path. And we'll see you back here on another episode of Coffee with Tea. All right. Bye-bye. Hi everyone, this is Tanya again, popping in to say thank you for listening to today's show. Coffee with Tea interviews are always free, and if you're enjoying the wisdom and the insights that are being shared, please stay and grow with us and show your financial support. You can buy us coffee or become a monthly supporter. Links are posted in the description box. And again, I wanted to personally say thank you for tuning in.